you know, you were not like that in the past. Yeah.
What's your secret, man? What's your secret?
Game. Honestly, if I could say one thing, it would be that. I say the other thing would be decrease the amount of stress in your life. So, like, if you're in debt, that should be your number one priority, is like, get my money up.
Yeah.
I'm going to pay you for these videos, so
okay,
you're good.
Okay, that's nice.
So yeah, get your money up, and then everything else, like, it's kind of like, I call it like Tarzan. So it's like you're swinging from vine to vine. It's like, get my money up to the point where I can have good logistics. And then when I have good logistics, then my dating life. So it's always like finding that one thing that's going to make everything else easier. Once you're like lower stress, then joking around becomes easier, right? Look at anyone who's good at games. They're always cracking jokes. They're always joking around, laughing, having fun. You can tell how good someone is at a game by how loose they get. Mm-hmm. And then it's like you said, it's like a mindset. It's like, once you're good at game and you know the skill set to push your own buttons, like, you can make yourself laugh all the time. Welcome to another Austin Summers podcast. This is the mind-expanding podcast to get you the girls that you want. It's currently sponsored by Austin Summers Academy, which is my online program that actually he took. So today I'm joined by my student, Juan. He's gotten some great results. And I'm also joined by my assistant over here. Say hello. You can talk in the mic too.
Hola, amigos.
¿Qué más, pues? What's up, guys?
So Wilfredo, Juan, y yo. And we're going to do, let's say, 90% in English, but then we'll do a small portion in Spanish, just okay. Fucking around. So, yeah, first thing I want to touch on is, like, you are born in one of the best countries, in the best city, probably, in the world. Like, women are feminine, they're amazing, they cook for you, they're sweet, and, yeah, it's great.
Well, I haven't gamed in other places in the world, but okay, since I started gaming here, yes, it's easier, if you will. Yeah, women are more receptive when you're doing the approach. It has its downsides as well, but yes, it's pretty good.
And so you and Wilfredo recently went to Pereira, which is another city, right?
Yeah.
How was that trip?
The trip to Pereira was really nice. The difference between Medellin and here is that the people are a lot more receptive, a lot more. The pace of the cities are more slow. People are down to do more stuff because there's almost nothing happening. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. And we stayed there for 2 weeks.
Actually, I think Medellin is kind of overrated. Mm-hmm. When we went to Pereira, I noticed the difference. Yes, as Wilfredo said, it's a smaller city. People go slower.
It's always interesting when you go from a bigger city to a smaller city. Typically, the people are nicer. Mm-hmm. So, like, same thing in Argentina. If you go from Buenos Aires to Cordoba, people are nicer, nice. More receptive and everything. Yeah. And, yeah. So, tell me a little bit about your trip. You told me a story earlier. It's like the first girl you approached.
The first approach I did, the first one. 2 days after, I was already banging that chick. And 2 days after, I was already banging another chick. Logistics are everything, in my opinion. If you have logistics, pulling it, it's relatively easy.
That's for you, because you have a lot. You went through my program, so you know how to game. You have a good physique because you put the time in the gym. You're a relatively cool, normal dude. But, like, there's guys, I want to touch on this. So there's guys in Los Angeles who will buy giant mansions to, like, try to, like, be like, oh, yo, like, do you want to come to my mansion, like, this thing? And they said that it literally didn't help because they're just another guy with a mansion. I also have another friend who he's been at like Dan Bilzerian's parties.
Oh, fuck, really?
And he told me, yeah, because he used to be a promoter in LA. I'm going to have him on the podcast too in the future. But he went to this party and they were like, he was like, I was just another like random guy there, basically.
Okay.
They were there for Dan or like some very wealthy, awesome, interesting person. But like, I was just like, for in the comparison of things, I was just nothing there. So there are people who have like amazing logistics, but, and also, yeah, so there's people who can have amazing logistics, such as the apartment in like the center of the city or like the best place, like literally right next to a bar, but they don't have the necessary game skill. Or like you, you had a really good drive. You were one of the only students I've had that's actually submitted like video infield. Like you submitted a video for me to analyze a little bit of, and audio clips and stuff. Like something like one out of every five students does that. So
if I realize something is that if you wanna improve fast, you should, and you must record your interactions. Mm-hmm. When I started recording my interaction and I realized a lot of mistakes, and yes.
And yeah, and such last point on logistics, I guess, is as long as you're like within 15 minutes of where you're gaming, it's that's very good. Like if you can be like, yo, let's just walk, it's a couple blocks and it's a 5-10 minute walk, or you get in a taxi and it's 10 minutes. As long as you can keep it going, you're pretty much fine. Yeah, why did you choose me? There's a bunch of coaches, but why did you choose me? You tell them how you found me. That's kind of funny.
I follow Austin on Instagram, so I realized that he was here in Medellin, and he said that. Otra vez. Es que la historia me da mucha risa.
So no, funny. There's no cuts. We're gonna keep this. This is natural. This is normal.
Okay, so
get it together, Juan.
I'm trying.
Just pull out of here. You don't answer.
So
la respuesta, señor.
I saw Austin's story that he was he was going to launch a program, a dating program, an online dating program, AWIX. I sent a DM to apply the program, and I told him that I'm only here in Medellin until we had the video call, and he told me everything about the program, and until the moment he said, okay, it's yes, Austin said, well, I cannot charge you in dollars because I'm Colombian, I earn money in Colombian pesos. So he said, okay, how much are you willing to invest in yourself? And yes, I said in dollars that like it's like less than, and I got in the program. Yes, I got in the program, but it was only for 5 weeks. But yes, I did the most of those 5 weeks. It was life changing.
How long did it take for you to get over your approach anxiety?
Okay, I think, to be honest, approach anxiety never goes away.
Yeah, I agree.
It never goes away. You just find a way to embrace it, and you control the anxiety. The anxiety
doesn't. Since you started, do you think your approach anxiety decreased though?
Decreased though, yeah. Of course, like after the 2 weeks in the program, I already was cured. But yeah, still I feel approach anxiety. I tend to shake a lot, and the girls realize that. But I don't really give a fuck. It's normal to be nervous around a girl.
And you just gotta throw yourself in.
Exactly.
There's never a perfect moment.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's so funny because people. when they get into a program of mine, they always set their, a lot of them set their goals way too low. Like some people are just like, I want to just get over my approach anxiety at the end of the 3 months. And it's like week one or two and they're like, I don't have approach anxiety anymore. I got to make a new goal. Yeah. Dude, one guy, he was this like Asian dude. I don't know if you remember him, but he took my immersion program, and then his goal was like, in 6 months, I want to have a date a week. And then during the immersion program, he had 3 dates in a week. And he's like, I guess I got to set new goals. So it's always funny, like from the outside, what you think is going to happen. I remember when I first started, I thought, like, I saw people doing incredible things, like pulling and just like the way they were talking to girls. And I was like, that is so crazy. I'm going to try this for 6 months and see if I can do anything remotely close to that. And yeah, and once you get into it, you realize like all this stuff is possible. It's just like another skill set. It's like if you do some martial arts or something, or do lifting and you see someone doing something, like maybe like a push up where they jump up and clap or something, then you just start and you realize that stuff is possible. You just got to work at it a little bit. Same thing with like those muscle ups, you know, when you do the pull up. Yeah, just got to work at it. What's on your bucket list? What's on your bucket list for you guys? Bucket list means things you want to do before you die. So like skydiving, have a threesome, start your own business, buy your family a house, get a tiny pony to ride on the streets.
Right now.
Oh, okay. Yes. Listo. ¿Qué estabas diciendo?
The bucket list.
Oh yeah, we'll do this one in English. Then we can switch to Spanish.
For what I'm aiming right now, I want to start my own business. I would like to do dating stuff. I want to skip my fucking 9-to-5 job. I hate, and working myself, and yes, being more independent, emancipate from my family, and having more income. And yes, that's pretty much what I'm aiming right now. Mm-hmm. What about you?
Well, if coronavirus doesn't kill us, the first thing I want to do is go to Germany. Yeah, that's on my bucket list this year. Because, I don't know, since I've been traveling, the German people I met, they're like really, I don't know, I like their sense of humor. And it's like I love a lot of sarcastic, you know, and I have like a similar kind of humor where we just click and it's really nice. Uh-huh. And I say, oh, okay, since the people from Germany are that cool, I should go to Germany. And also Germany is not that, I want to think that it's a beautiful place to visit, because yeah. I haven't visited the Europe part. Yeah, and it will be like a really good change of perspective.
Yeah, a lot of Europe is kind of similar, like in terms of like how the roads look and the buildings and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like there's like different pockets of the world where things are similar, like the Middle East, Africa, Latin America. Like this is pretty similar to like Panama, like Colombia.
Oh,
Colombia,
really?
Panama. I bet Peru's somewhat similar. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, then North America has its own like look and this type of thing. Same thing with Asia. Yeah, it's cool. Okay, vamos a hablar en español.
Perfecto.
Por un ratico, like 5 minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
Pregunta.
Pregunta.
Pregunta, pues.
Dime una historia sobre tu como lo peor rejección.
Rechazo.
Retraso que. Rechazo que tú has tenido.
El peor rechazo que yo he tenido.
Es como tú. Yo no he tenido nada.
No he tenido ni un rechazo en mi vida.
Es muy difícil porque soy perfecto.
Sí. El peor rechazo que yo tuve fue cuando recién estaba empezando en el game. Y por el mismo hecho de que recién había empezado, todo era muy nuevo. Como que un rechazo era como ¡pum!
me duele
mi vagina. Y el peor rechazo que tuve fue cuando estuve en un bus y vi a una chica que estaba a mi costado en el bus también. Y como que le dije el Austin Summers opener. hola, estaba a punto de sentarme por ahí y te vi en tu blusa, no sé qué blusa estaba usando, blusa rosada, y tenía que decir hola.
Uf, sí. Qué suave.
Pero literal sentí que todas las personas del bus como que estaban así. Oh, like, todos me estaban mirando y de ahí fue cuando me entró todo el esto. Y la... creo que la chica vio eso. Y la chica como que se puso también nerviosa, se puso roja. Okay. Y yo como que, oh, no. Y de ahí solo dije, un gusto. Me cambié de lugar. Eso fue como que muy, muy fuerte para ese entonces.
¿Y cuántas personas en el bus?
en Lima... En Lima usualmente los buses están llenos. O sea, la gente se sienta y hay como que gente parada un montón.
Y tú como en el bus y todo el mundo.
Okay. Sí.
¿Y a ti?
Como el peor rechazo.
Sí.
Pues hay uno que recuerdo. Yo estaba en un centro comercial. Entonces, pues hice el opener de siempre. Entonces, resulta que ella era americana. Ella era de Estados Unidos. Entonces, pues yo traté de hacer la conversación, pero después ella me dijo como, me dijo en inglés, como, pues, ¿quién piensa eso? Que, pues, que alguien es bonito y le va a ir a hablar. Ella, y yo como, uy, esta vieja, ¿qué le pasa? Pues, yo pienso que cuando uno lo rechaza, no se lo debe tomar personal. Pero, uy, es así, yo me enojé, o sea, ¿cómo va a decir eso? Que, o sea, ves a alguien y vas y le hablas, eso, pues, ¿quién puede pensar eso? Me dijo ella, me dijo eso, y yo como, uy... Ya entiendo por qué dicen eso de Estados Unidos, que no es tan fácil como aquí.
Y ahora tú, no quiero ir a Estados Unidos por mis viajes de turismo sexual. Listo, pues. Tengo que aprender palabras sobre game en español. Ok, dime, ¿cómo es open? Es abre.
Abridor. Opener, abridor. So open, abrir.
¿Cómo se dice pull? Pulling. ¿Es como llevar?
Es como que también lo dicen en inglés. Puleas.
¿Puleas?
Puleas. Haces un pull.
Es un anglicismo. Sí.
O ¿cómo se dice closed?
¿Lo cierras?
¿Sí?
¿Cierras el set? Es que no se usa mucho la palabra.
Utilizamos la palabra en inglés, pull, decimos pull, close, decimos close.
Yo escuché un hombre de alemán hablando en game en alemán. Es como, pulling, open, pick up, like this. Es similar en español.
Sí, así es.
Tengo que ver Álvaro Reyes. Reyes.
Saludos, Listo. Alvarito.
Sí. Es como cada vez él y yo estamos cerca a conocer nosotros, es como algo paso. Es como él, tengo dos chicas acá, no puedo. O yo, es como, estoy en el bosque ahora. Es algo así, pero pronto.
En
pronto. Español. En Perú se dice. ¿Español o es catalán? Or wait, what is it?
¿Qué?
Wait, what is it called? Castellano. Castellano. Sí. ¿Es castellano?
Castellano.
That's fucking weird. Sí. Pero es significa en historia, sí, porque how you say the kingdom? Reina?
Reina, sí. Reinado?
It's like the kingdom of Castellan or Castillo, right? Is that it? Fuck, I gotta look this up. Porque en España
okay.
Fue como tres kingdoms.
Reinos, sí. Ahí está.
Sí. Mitad, así fue como...
Aragón, Castilla.
Aragón, Castilla, sí. Él sabe.
¿Sabes?
Sí, pero pues, ¿cuál es el punto?
¿Tú estudias inglés y historia o qué?
No, yo ya dejé la universidad.
Ajá.
Ajá.
No es necesario, excepto si tú quieres ser... ingeniero, abogado
o científico, doctor, ya, sí. Eso es todo.
Pero para tener dinero, no.
No, exactamente.
Especialmente en Colombia.
dinero para
no. ¿Qué más? Me gustan las expresiones de paisas.
De paisas, uff.
Hágale pues.
Listo pues.
Caterina, es como... Baby, ¿quieres... Wait, ¿quieres ver un jaguar? Hágale pues.
Hágale pues.
Vamos pues. Pues. Vamos a regresar a inglés.
Yes.
Okay. Hello and welcome to the program in English. Welcome back.
Half of the people just tune out. Like, what the fuck? What are these fucking Mexicans talking about? Get back to. I've been waiting for my burrito for 25 minutes. What the fuck?
Dude, every time I talk about burritos, people are like, burritos are not Mexican, but they actually are from Ciudad Juarez.
Yeah.
Porque they took the tacos to people who were like in the war or something like this, and they were taking the tacos, but they would get cold because tacos are very small. So what one of the ladies did was, when her husband would take it, she'd wrap them all in a giant tortilla. Y después, fuck, dude, why am I, I'm like bilingual.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we're English.
And later, because he rode on a donkey, which is burro, yeah. They say, llego el burro, or llego el burrito. And then it was called,
burrito.
Yeah, burrito.
Ah, so
historia. Pero acá no hay burrito. Do people think that Colombia is like, in Peru is just like, oh, tacos and burritos. Like, there's literally people who don't understand the difference. They just think all of Latin America is like that. But there's huge differences. Like, Peru, ceviche. Here's like arepas. Same thing in Venezuela, arepas.
Yes, a British guy I met, he told me, like, he felt like here was spicy food.
Yeah,
and
dude.
He was so disappointed. Yes.
Like why? This is the least, dude. My girlfriend can't handle spice at all. She can't eat ginger.
Me neither.
What is ginger?
Do you know ginger, jengibre?
Ah,
jengibre.
Can you tolerate jengibre?
I don't think so.
Intolerant.
We're not made for that.
We need acceptance and tolerance. Don't you understand? The social justice warriors. Yeah, and in Argentina, it's just like Italy, basically.
There's no Pizza Hut there, right? Because everything just...
Dude, the pizza in Argentina is so bad.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they apparently the ancestors of Argentina were like poor Italians.
Oh.
So the dough is like not cooked fully. Like, they don't cook it fully. Mm. Like, you know, like regular crust is like, it's got like, it has some kind of like firmness to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's got like,
I know.
It's got some firmness. But in Argentina, it feels like they took it out like 3 minutes too early, and then they put too much cheese on the top, and when you cut through, the cheese just like oozes out onto the plate, and it's like oily cheese. Oh, dude, it's gross. And there's like, yeah, it's not good. I don't recommend. But you know what's amazing in Argentina? Best ice cream I've ever had.
I thought you were going to say meat.
Yeah, the meat's good, but dude, they care a lot about food. Every food that I've had there, whether it's Asian or just like a fusion or anything, they did everything perfectly. It's like the best food I ever had in my life. But worst pizza ever. Don't recommend.
If you stay, for example, in Peru, your gaming development more? Because in Peru is very hard.
Yeah. But to be honest, I think when you're there, you develop a lot of things that are like not essential parts of game. In terms of like me in Toronto, it was like developing, like, I had like such verbal wit that I don't think I even have that much anymore. I was just like, I was so sharp coming up with like funny shit just all the time. Mm-hmm. So literally the girls are just like, they just follow this like cascade of positive emotions. Uh-huh. But in other countries, it's not so much like that. And like, I think you also have to adapt what you're doing to another culture, another place. So like, for example, in North America, we use a lot of cocky humor. So it's like, hey, and same thing in Germany. It's like, you know what? I normally don't give compliments to women I just meet, but you have great taste in men. Like, because she's hanging out with me. But here, if I said that, girls would be like, egoista. Like, you're self-obsessed, narcissist, blah, blah, blah. So here that wouldn't work. You just kind of have to adapt it to different places. But I do think, like, if it's harder in a place and you go through with it and you get to a decent level, then it's like everywhere you go is easy, basically. So, like, if you're gaming in Peru or, I don't know, Toronto or England or something like this, and then anywhere else in the world is like, I can do it anywhere. It's kind of like, you ever heard, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere, about New York? It's like part of a song. If you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. Okay, whatever. But it's like, because New York is, it costs $3,000 a month for your apartment. Plus, everything's more expensive. You probably, your living expenses are like $6,000 a month in New York. So if you can survive in that city, you can move anywhere else and survive, basically. Except maybe Zurich and San Francisco. But, yeah. I think it's a similar principle.
Why not San Francisco? What's wrong with
it? It's just super expensive.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like twice as New York?
No, it's a little bit more, though. Yeah.
Oh.
I think the housing's more expensive. I don't know about other things, though. I love San Francisco, though. I don't think it's the best place for game, but it's just a beautiful city. They have, like, so many healthy options, so many great food options. It's, like, the center of everything tech. So, if you want, it's, like, it's pretty much, I guess, probably the opposite of Pereira. It's, like, Pereira, everything's slow pace of life. San Francisco's, like, why isn't my Uber here 3 seconds ago? You know? It's kind of, like, this very, like, go, go, go. And a lot of these tech entrepreneurs are just, like, so it's called, like, A-type personality, whatever. They're just, like,
like, on their purpose?
Yeah, just fucking, like, it's not just, like, working hard. It's, like, work hard, work smart, and work creatively, or else you're fucked. Because you have, you know, people pouring millions of dollars into your company. And if you don't make something work, you're literally fucked. And another thing, too, is you can't seek help from anyone when you're in that position. Because it could show signs of weakness for the company.
Oh, really?
So if you're, like, oh, shit, there's so much pressure. I'm about to fucking break. But you can't be like, hey, investors, how's it going? Everything's going great, except for I'm about to kill myself. Like, you can't do that, right? So it's pretty intense. But then I think that's the difference a lot of the time between the U.S. and in place like Colombia, for example, is like in the U.S. you can have whatever you want, whenever you want, like this.
Yeah.
But also the type of person that creates that society is going to be like, just like spazzing out all the time. Like, where the fuck is my food? You know, have you seen the memes like Karen? She's like complains to the manager. Her name's Karen. And she's always just like, get me the manager. Uh-huh. Whatever. It's a meme in English. Yeah. But yeah, it's like it creates that type of thing. And this is also like a book that I'm, I think I finished it. It's called Civilized to Death. And basically, to create civilization, you have to be very unnatural. Your natural purpose isn't to hold a podcast mic, to have a camera. And your natural purpose is to like get food to feed your family while living in a natural environment. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much it. So when you come into a city, literally everything breaks down. The quality of the air, like here, the quality of the air right now is just very bad because we're transitioning to the rainy season. And also some other things like the gas quality here and stuff. But in a city, you get worse air pollution. The food's not as nutritious. In nature, you're literally eating locally grown, organic things that are seasonal all year round. Whereas here, let's say in Toronto during the winter, there's no raspberries growing in Toronto in the winter, right? So they get imported from like Mexico or something. So they're traveling thousands of miles and they're not as nutrient dense as if you just picked them off a tree, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, a lot of things just break down when you come into society because... And also you work more. This is the point I was trying to get at. To create a society like the US or Germany or Japan or South Korea, people have to be put under a lot of pressure to like make it happen, right? And it makes you not enjoy life as much because all you're thinking about is work. Like there's people who they're held on call for like 16 hours a day or maybe more. So it's like if a customer emails you and you're at home, you have to reply to the email. Like so... It's hard to strike the balance because there's things that are good about now is that we have technology that we can use to understand the world around us, but also that technology is making you more fucked up, right? Mm. There's a book called The Shallows by Nicholas Carr, I think, and he talks about how like computers and cell phones are like literally making us retarded. Mm-hmm. And Yeah, but there's pros and cons, and it's like, I like to think of it like you're dropped into a toxic wasteland and you have to find your way to, yeah, you have to find like the secrets. How do I eat in this toxic wasteland? How do I create a happy life in this toxic wasteland? And everyone, there's so many people who talk, how many people you know that have struggled with depression and anxiety? Everybody. Virtually like everyone, yeah. Right? And it's like, that is not normal. If you meet a deer in the middle of the forest or a bear, you're not, it's like, how much anxiety do you have? The bear probably eat you, but
yeah.
Because in nature, there's not, you have acute anxiety, which means it's like, if you're a deer and you hear like a tree branch snap and you see a bear, you're going to run, right? That's like acute. You're like, boom, I'm out of there. But after that, you can relax. Now what we have is chronic stress and chronic anxiety. So it's like, holy shit, I'm in debt. I need to find a way to pay this bill. This person's dealing with this issue. My work, I don't know what's going to happen with the economy. Whereas hunter-gatherers, they don't store food. They just
eat it.
They go out and eat it. And then they go, why don't you find a way to, like, have you heard of refrigeration? You can store it. And they're like, why would I? There's so many berries around me. I would never, like, the idea doesn't make sense to them. They're like,
yeah.
There's this African tribe, and he's like, why would I ever need to do that? There's never a shortage of mangongo beans or whatever the fuck he was eating. Mangongo fruits. And yeah, it just doesn't make sense to them. And think about, and like, the average time they work is like 1 to 3 hours per day.
Oh, yeah, that's real.
And the things they do that we call work, they don't, hunter-gatherers don't understand the concept of work.
Uh-huh.
They don't get it because they're doing things that are naturally enjoyable. What do a lot of people do? I don't know about in Peru and here, but in the US, when people want to take like a vacation away from work, they go hunting and fishing. Have you heard this? Or they go on a trip in nature, or they go to some beautiful place. A hunter-gatherer is always hunting, gathering, fishing, hanging out in nature. So they're like very low stress. They're in the environment that they evolved to be in. And yeah, I don't know. I kind of...
Actually, I saw him like that. Like, okay, you work an entire year to having 2 weeks of vacation to live like a hunter-gatherer. Yeah. Like, that makes no sense.
There's also that parable of the guy. It's like he goes down to a businessman from New York, from a successful firm, flies down to Mexico to a fishing village, and there's a guy fishing there, and he just comes back with, like, a net of food. And he's like, well, you know what? If you took that net, you could get another one, and then you could invest. And if you go fishing 3 times a day, you'll have more, and then you can buy another boat, and then you can like scale it up so you got a fishing industry. Yeah. Then you could take your business to the New York Stock Exchange and get like your fishing business public, and then you can retire to a small fishing village and just fish whenever you want. It's like, what? And it's so funny because people are so trapped in that thinking of just like, I gotta fucking hustle. And it's like, a lot of those people are just lost, and they've been programmed to like money. Like, obviously, yes, no matter where you are, you need to get enough resources. So you have, nothing is free. You can't, there's no real species that does like virtually nothing and just gets, mm-hmm. except if you're a tree, right? But for everyone else, you gotta hustle, right? You gotta go gather the grass or eat the whatever. Yeah. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
I think it's sometimes it's confusing because people tell you to hustle, to work, but then like you said, like the Fisher example, it's like, why? So I need to work but not work too much. Mm. What's the, I don't know.
You have to find a balance, yeah.
Yeah,
that's, and a lot of those people part. I know people who teach courses on how to make money stuff, and they're actually really successful with other businesses, mm-hmm. but they also teach how to make money online, these types of things. And these people are making millions of, they're taking in millions of dollars of revenue every year, and they're depressed. So it's like, why go through all of that to be depressed? Why not work on being happy, right? Mm. So I like, sometimes my business is a lifestyle business. I'm not doing my business to scale it to be like Tony Robbins, just like, I just gotta have 10 trillion people following my advice and like everyone's fucking each other 9 times a day. Like, I don't want, I don't need a 10x.
Because sometimes I wonder, hey, you like, you can have like a RSD empire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then you're also stressed all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want to have free time so I can choose what to do. I can have my YouTube channel where I give back. I'm trying to find like the balance, right? So I have my YouTube channel where I literally anyone can access free content.
Yeah.
And then for a select few people like Juan, I take the people who actually want to get good and then I teach them. I don't want to have, you know, 500,000 clients paying me $5. I want to have people put a substantial amount of money in, invest, and then I can work with those people to get them results. Because it doesn't make me feel good if one person out of 300 is getting results, right? Yeah. Which is what most online products are like.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, oh, I kind of got something out of it, but I'm not going to really follow through. Whereas on my program, you call me on the call and I'm like, the fuck did you do this week? Like, I break down like their habits and their approaches and all this other stuff. So, but yeah, you got to find the balance between things.
Yeah.
And also the more time you work is like, I feel like you need more time to relax almost also too. So also, you know, what's funny is the people who live the longest and have the least amount of disease are the least stressed people as well. Mm. So, and there's a lot of like, it's like I said, it's like you're dropped in this toxic environment. You got to figure it out. It's like a lot of things I have automatic. So like, for example, when people hop on a sales call, or let's say they have a Skype call with me.
Okay.
I set reminders now. So it's like they get reminded. I don't have to manually follow up and just be on a computer. Like,
oh, like you just sent. Yeah, you told me. No, you showed me once. Like you put like just a number and boop, that the whole text you put to another client.
Yeah. So like text replacement yeah. stuff. Same thing. Yeah, like, dude, I just type COVID in my phone now and it does my COVID line. Oh, dude, yeah. we should give that line in Spanish and English to the people on the podcast. So the line in English is, if COVID-19 doesn't take you out, can I? With like a smirk emoji. And then in Spanish, si el COVID-19 no te agarra, puedo yo. Does that make sense?
Agarrar is like a hold.
Uh-huh.
It's not like
Would that work both with
you meant to do like the literal translation, like to.
No, the literal would be sacar, I think.
Sí.
Does that work or no?
I don't think.
All right.
I don't think it works.
Never mind then. So many things like work in English that don't work in Spanish at all. I like the quarantine Valentine. Do you want to be my quarantine Valentine? we can quarantine together. So what? Quarantine is like when you're. How do you say it in Spanish?
Quarantena.
Quarantine.
Quarantena. Yeah. Valentine's like your romantic partner.
Yeah. I have a question, Austin.
Sure.
What are good places for Latin lovers to go?
To be honest, people ask this question, but I literally think anywhere is good when you have the skill. That's like my new kind of go-to. It's because there's places that Germany is not an easy place to game, right?
Oh, fuck.
But if I tell you that, it's not like the best, what I'm saying.
Okay.
But the difference between like, if you have 10 out of 10 skill, you can make it work anywhere basically, right? So, and also I don't want to discourage someone from going to a country by saying like, that country sucks, dude. All the girls have dicks. It's like, what? Like no country is so bad. Like, you can get laid essentially anywhere. People say San Francisco is, like, the worst in the U.S. And I've even said that. But, dude, every time I go there for an immersion, I fuck, like, 3 girls in a week. I have a couple of students get laid. It's, like, it's not bad. But I think it's more important, like, what...
mindset.
Yeah, that. But also, like, what country has the most attractive girls?
Like Peru.
Peru is the number one, dude. Yeah. Number one, clean air. Number one, hottest girls.
Peru represent, man.
Peru. What do you call people from your place, from Lima?
Limeños.
Ah, okay.
Limeños.
That sounds like you're a lemon.
We are.
Just a bunch of lemons hanging out.
We are, yeah.
Ah, okay. Like what percentage? Is your dad a lemon? Your mom's a human? How's this work?
No, my dad is part lemon.
This podcast has become derailed. All right, I'm gonna close off with this line. Oof.
I have another question.
Yeah, what's up?
Okay, so my question is, like, I saw you in your day-to-day, and fuck, again. Okay, I saw you in your day-to-day, in your life, and what I am amazed is that almost every instance you just, like, give value. Like, you say hi to a guy, and you joke with us all the time. You joke with your girlfriend all the time, and you do these things. And I was talking with my friend that you look like a kid, but in a good way, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it's just your playground. How do you, like, I don't know, I would be like, what's your mindset, or what's the process that you have to do to get to that point where literally when I see you, it's like, this is your playground, you just play and that's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because
you integrate.
You know,
game.
Like that in the past.
Yeah, you know, you were not like that in the past.
Yeah.
What's your secret, man? What's your secret?
Game. Honestly, if I could say one thing, it would be that. Mm-hmm. I say the other thing would be decrease the amount of stress in your life. So, like, if you're out of debt, that should be your number one. If you're in debt, that should be your number one priority, is, like, get my money up.
Yeah.
I'm going to pay you for these videos. So,
oh, okay,
you're good.
Okay. That's nice.
So, yeah, get your money up, and then, like, everything else, like, find those. It's kind of like, I call it like Tarzan, you know, Tarzan. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're swinging from vine to vine. It's like, get my money up to the point where I can have good logistics. And then when I have good logistics, then my dating life. So it's always like finding that one thing that's going to make everything else easier. Once you're like lower stress, then joking around becomes easier, right? If you look at anyone who's good at game, they're always cracking jokes. They're always joking around, laughing, having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you can tell how good someone is at game by how loose they get.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like you said, it's like a mindset. It's like, once you're good at game and you know the skill set to push your own buttons, like, you can make yourself laugh all the time. And what's a more enjoyable life if you're laughing, you know, several times throughout the day, cracking jokes, yeah. And trolling, or...
You say, Medellin es una chimba.
Yeah.
And you say, hi.
And I think that skill's good for everything, especially like learning languages too, is that you just make an idiot of yourself. Like, when I speak Spanish, dude, I make errors all the time. But then if I make the error, I just laugh at myself and I go, oh shit, I gotta fix it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot easier. And it just makes life more enjoyable, I think. So if you guys like this podcast, leave a like. Or if you're listening somewhere, leave a 5-star review. So if you're listening on iTunes, just be like, listen, this podcast is dope. Here's something I learned. And yeah, you can listen on iTunes, Spotify, CastBox, Google Podcasts, and YouTube. So literally anywhere. Smash a like, leave a comment, do all that good stuff, and I'll see you in the next video or podcast. Peace.